Awesome. Okay, well, good morning again. I feel pretty blessed I get to preach again in the morning. Matt keeps letting me come back up here, so that's always a good thing, isn't it? So that's it. So today we're going to be talking about more about church fellowship and what that really looks like for us. So the importance of like Christians getting together, regular prayer, in that intentional sort of prayer, and Bible studies, and that mutual support sort of things. So we're actually going to look at sort of three sort of key commands that...
good move. People can see you behind.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Are you right? Awesome. And we've got one more. Sorry? Oh, yeah, and there's also some activities in the back for the children. So if anyone wants to run back there and play some games, you are very welcome. Thank you, Sue. But, awesome. So, yeah, so we're going to specifically look at Hebrews, and there's sort of three commands that that we actually see that how we should actually be doing fellowship in our churches. So before we look at that, though, I thought it'd be good to actually look at our mission statement. So our mission statement says, sharing the life-changing good news in our community with words of hope and acts of love. So our mission statement reminds us of what our church, what we're all about. Sharing that good news and with words of hope and acts of love. But is this going to work for me? I might need you to flick it for me, Isaac. And we've also got, we're also going to quickly look at one of our core sort of beliefs that we sort of talk about, our core sort of values, which says we're relationally committed. So love is the foundation of our relationship with each other, being open and honest with each other, welcoming, connecting with, and including new people into our church. Meaningful, loving relationships require more than just a Sunday service. And love enables and promotes unity despite differences in ages, backgrounds, experiences, and faith journeys. So these are things what we say that we're about as a church. So we're going to explore and then challenge ourselves that we actually live these out properly this morning. So before we get into this Hebrews chapter 10, let me just quickly pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we've actually said that this is our mission statement. And we just pray that we can really see how we can actually use this effectively in our church and in our community at Swansea, Case Beach, Blacksmiths, the 2281 area. And we just pray that you can really use us to have those loving words, those loving actions, those good deeds to encourage, but also be consistent in the way we actually meet together as a church family. We pray for this in your name. Amen. So we might just flick to the next slide, Isaac. So I don't know about you, but... Today is one of my favourite days of the year. So grand final day, that's right. I love the NRL. I follow the Dragons, which is a bit unfortunate this year. But that's okay. But I don't know about you, but when I'm watching the football, I really get into it. Like I'm there, I become like that sort of that referee in my own household. Like I'm yelling, I'm getting on, I'm like, that was an offside, or that was this. And I really, really start going on and banging on. Liv gets real grumpy at me sometimes. I just keep complaining about my team losing or whatever that might be, and it's always the ref's fault. And I just become this judging character. I start judging. I judge the players. I judge the ref. I judge me sometimes afterwards. I'm like, oh, man, how was I acting just then? But I get into this sort of... Sometimes we just get so caught up when we get so excited about something we love and something we're passionate about. One of those is sort of the rugby league for me. I know Andy's going down today. His team's playing, so it should be a good one for you guys. But hopefully it's a great night. So, but sometimes we get caught up, don't we? And we sort of start judging. We start getting these ideas in our heads. And we start sort of looking at people the wrong way. And we do this about in everyday life and all different things. Like it could be someone that rubs us the wrong way. Like someone that comes up to us and says some certain word or whatever that might be. And sometimes we just instantly judge that person. And we have this sort of judgment that can sort of go on so naturally sometimes. And that can be limited the way we look at things. Like sometimes we have our different ideas, our personal view, all those things that sort of limit how we look at someone. So our youth group, as we just talked about, just got back from state youth camp. And we had that sort of main theme of enough. And I started thinking, like, what's some things I've had enough of? So what are things that really start to grind me up when I'm like living my life? And one of them is, you know, when people leave a shopping trolley in the car space, if you go there, oh man, that's just one of those things I'm like, how dare that person do that? And that really, really gets to me. I'm like, yeah, so how could you leave a stroke control? That's where I'm going to park. I can't park there. Another one is like when they leave, like, you know, when you go to the fridge to go get some juice or something, there's only like this much left. And you're like, why would someone leave that much juice in the fridge? Like, that just, oh man, that really grinds my gears. Like, that gets me. Another one is when you go to the movies and there's like people behind you that just keep talking through the movie. And you're like, I've come here, I've paid this money to go see this movie, but this person just won't be quiet. Like, these are things that I found that really rile me up, and I'm like, I get upset about, they frustrate me, and they can cause me to judge or even rebuke others. And it's so easy to sort of fall into that negative trap, isn't it? Straight away, we sort of think about our own personal things, but we don't ask any more than that. So today, if we just go to the next slide, Isaac, we're going to talk about Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 in particular. So let's just quickly read this together. And let us consider how to stir one another up, to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all that more as you see the day drawing near. So we have our first command we see here, and that's to motivate one another to love and good works. So there's actually a few key things in this command. The first is consider. So when we see the word consider, it translates to be in the Greek to be to give careful consideration, to be intentional. So when we come up to this word in Scripture, we need to really think about what's going to come next. We need to focus and pay attention of what the author is about to say. It's good to note here as well that it says, let us consider. It's not only a few of us consider, it's all of us. All of us are to consider and pay attention of what the author is about to tell us. And that is to spur one another on. All of us, the Greek word, I guess, let's maybe go with that. The Greek word for spur we see here is, if I say this right, paroxysmos, which means provoke. So generally when you hear the word provoke, it's generally like not in a good sort of a sense. Like if I've provoked someone, it's generally like they want to have a fight with me or something like that. They want to argue, they want to hit me, whatever that might be. If you provoke someone, it's usually seen that sort of a term. But here it's using it in a positive meaning, to provoke one another in love and good works, to spur each other on to good things. It's common in our Western culture to be lazy and complacent when it comes to our Christian sort of lives and expect other people to do all the good work for the kingdom of God. It's actually a common sort of statistic that a lot of people sort of bring up, that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. That means there's 80% of generally the church sort of sitting there in the background, they just turn up on a Sunday and that's it. Which is pretty crazy in my mind. We need to be spurring each other on to do good works. And we need to be doing this intentionally, serving each other. Spurring each other on to do love and good deeds. You can't love someone unless you purposely, intentionally do that, right? I don't just normally go up to a new person, I'm just like, oh, I love you. I'm going to do whatever you say. I'm going to, like, if you tell me to go get, like, something out of the oven, no worries, I'll go do it for you. Whatever that might be, but when we have a relationship with someone, when we're intentional, that's when we start to love each other. We have those good deeds. We need to be intentional how we love each other as a church. And to do that, we need to be in each other's lives. So our world goes against the grain of this, though, doesn't it? Our world sort of tells us that the more stuff we have, the more attractive we are, the more popular I am, you're going to be successful. Like, that's what we need to strive to. And what it's saying here is it's not about loving yourself. It's about loving others, one another, with good works. Some reason it's easier to tear people down, isn't it? It's so much easier to say, oh, look, to rebuke, to get angry. I know there's some things that really annoy me as well is when people forget to ask, like if I ask them to do something, they don't do it. Or maybe it's when your children, you tell your children to go do a job and they don't do it, maybe in that sort of a way. Maybe it's people who are running late. I know I have a few friends that really can't stand that. What sort of things trigger you to get angry and rebuke instead of love and spur people on? How can you be more encouraging and loving and asking, spurring people on to do good deeds instead of doing the other, judging and rebuking? How are you going to spur people on in this church, in this family? We then continue in this and we actually get to the second command, meet together regularly. So if we look at verse 25 that's up there, it talks about not giving up meeting together as some are in habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as the day approaches. This verse encourages not to abandon meeting together on a Sunday, but also through the rest of the week. One of the most important habits you'll ever do is actually being in fellowship with other believers. And it talks about actually that unhealthy habit there as well of those that neglect meeting together. So this verse warns us of that opposite habit. And we encourage us that we need to keep living together in fellowship and those sort of things. So it's an easy habit to sort of fall away from, isn't it? Like, I talk to heaps of people and they go up and they say, oh, look, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go out in the boat today. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to do these things. Like, I can go to church next week. But all of a sudden, they miss the following week because it's another beautiful day. And then the next week's another beautiful day. And all of a sudden, they've got 4 weeks. And they're like, oh, look, I haven't been to church in ages. Maybe it's okay if I miss one more. We sort of get in this habit and this routine. And we start missing those services. I'm saying it's not wrong to miss one Sunday a week, or whatever that is. But at the same time, it's so important that we stay together. And we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. Let me read that for us. And all those who have believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have needed. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. Here we see love and good deeds sort of coming into it, but it's also just about that fellowship that these guys met every day. They were doing things together. They were working together. They were loving each other. They were serving each other. They were doing all these things daily together. So I know a dozen people that actually it's a bit of a common saying in social media that if you don't go to, church, we are the church. Excuse me for a second. And I sort of push back against this saying a little bit, because I think it's a bit of an unhealthy view, because I think it separates being the church and actually going to church. And we actually see that I'm just trying to figure the right words to say this. So when people say that going to church, we are the church and to going to church, I think we get so caught up that we can sort of be the church but be by ourselves. And it can be quite dangerous, and we need to be very careful of that. And I don't think anywhere in the Bible I've seen where there's actually encourages a lone ranger sort of a Christian that goes on and does it by themselves. And they sort of, like, that goes on, does their own Christian duties and all that sort of thing without other people. And the church, by very nature, as we see in Matthew 18, verse 20, that when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So we need to be in a fellowship of believers so we can encourage each other, love each other, and spur each other on. And it is so important to do that more than just a Sunday, but also through the week in Bible studies, in ministries, whatever that might be. It's more than just turning up on a Sunday. So that we then get to this third command, which is encourage one another. If we see that in verse 25 as well. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another. We also see in Hebrews 10, in verse 12 to 13, see it, brothers, that none of you are sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to be encouraging each other daily. Living a Christian life isn't easy, and there's this sort of spiritual battle that is sort of waging on. And I don't know if about you, but we might just go to the next slide, if that's all right, Elise. But I love David Attenborough. I chuck on the National Geographic Channel if I can. or one of those sort of shows that come up. And I just get fascinated when it sort of comes to those, everyone loves a good predator, sort of David Attenborough episode when the lion or a cheetah or whatever it is chasing after that animal. And it's just waiting for that sort of action shot of where it takes it down or whatever that might be. But I don't know if you've ever noticed watching those shows, but whenever the lions or whatever it is, they're sort of hunting something, they don't go for the big group. They always aim for that sort of individual, don't they? So it's always that stray that sort of goes to the side. They're running by themselves. And that's the animal they're like, oh, let's take that one. And I think this is really relates to us in our Christian walk as well. When we're in that big group, as you can see in the background, we're really safe in numbers. We can encourage each other. We're spurring each other on to love and good works. But when we're on our own, we're running and we've got people after us. And we've got this spiritual war that is going on. And when we're by ourselves and we don't have encouragement and love, that's when things can get out of hand. And we can start to fall away and the devil starts to attack us, whatever that might be. That's when it doesn't go well. So it's so important to be in our church fellowship. So this command is written to all believers, not just those in Christian leadership as well, that we all need to be getting together and doing things together and loving each other. This responsibility is on us. In other words, Sunday morning worship is important, but it's not enough. We need to reach beyond Sunday morning. We need to be part of the church. We need to be engaged in church throughout the week. If we just come just that Sunday morning, the rest of the week can sort of get thrown out. And we can be that one little zebra running along. But when we're together, that's when our community changes. That's when lives are changed. That's when we see the love and good deeds at work. That's when we see each other encouraged and growing in our faith. That's when good things start happening. So I want to encourage you this week to think about what you need. Do you need motivation? Do you need love? Do you need encouragement? In what ways are you investing in your church? And how can you encourage others to live a life that is surrounded by love and good deeds? Let me just quickly pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that we get to be your church here in Swansea. We just pray that you can use us in love and good deeds, that you can motivate us, help us motivate each other to do those loving good deeds, that they won't just be in our church fellowship, but also in our community that they will flow into. And we just pray as we just try and understand where we fit in this church. We just think of 1 Corinthians where it talks about the body and how the body has many parts, and we can each of those parts is so important, whether that's the pinky finger, the eye, the ear, whatever that is, that you will use whatever gifts these people in our church have to be a blessing for each other. And we just pray that we'll just use that in love and good deed. But we just pray that you may spur us on, those that are sort of floating in the background that are just turning up on that Sunday, to think about how they can be more supportive and loving in our church. How they can encourage others, whether that's through prayer, whether that's through turning up to a ministry and actually helping out. Whether that's helping out in our Sunday morning service. We just pray that you can use us to be your church. That we won't just take our faith as just this thing we just live on a Sunday, but we'll actually take it on and actually live that out in our whole life. We just pray that you can use us as a blessing. We pray for this in your amazing name. Amen. So we're going to go into another one. Jesus also commands us to do communion. I don't know if you've how familiar you are with the Gospels, but in Jesus' Last Supper, he sits down with his disciples and talks about, if I just had the helpers come up with me now, that would be amazing. But he talks about in the Last Supper about the wine being his blood and the bread being his body, and the importance of remembering his sacrifice for us. So this morning, as we think about that, I also want you to think about how are you going to be encouraging and in fellowship in this church. So when you're sitting there and you're waiting for the stewards to bring around the juice and the bread, I just want to encourage you to think about, what does that look like for you? How can you be more involved? Is that through prayer? Is that through helping out in some sort of ministry? How can you be more active in this church as a fellowship and be a part of that body? So I might get us to come forward if that's okay. So we have a gluten-free option as well. If anyone has gluten-free, make sure you put your hand up and we can get to them. This is the cup given to you. Let's take this together. Yes, Lord, we just thank you so much that your grace is so big, that you loved us that much, that your actions on the cross and your resurrection led to our salvation. We just pray as we go into this week, Lord, that you can use us to be a blessing wherever we can, that you can use us to share that love and your grace to anyone we see, that we will be known as a church that is known for that love and that care, that good deeds, that encouragement. We just pray that you can use us in everything we do, in our lives, our neighbours, our friends, our family. Use us to be a blessing wherever we can. We pray for this in your name. Amen. I might ask the band to come up now. We'll finish our last song.